And now we have the first of three readers' letters. This is from Will Stebbings in Rutland. In the January issue, David Clayton wrote an article about a Riley 1.5. That's a type of car for those who are automobily ignorant. This brought back memories for Will Stebbings. Here is Neil Haverson with the letter.
Reading David Clayton's interesting article about the Riley 1.5 in the January issue brought back many memories of the time around 1969 when I decided I had to buy one of these great vehicles, or the similar Wolseley 1500. At the time, I was driving a minivan that was great for buzzing around, but did little for my failing image with the opposite sex. Why a Riley or a Wolseley? They just offered a touch more class than your usual Fords, Austins or Hillmans, without being too extortionately priced. My age prohibited the insurance for a sports car, so it just had to be the Riley or the Wolseley. For many frustrating weeks, I searched around the local car dealers. They weren't always the most common vehicles to be found, but eventually I found a 1964 Wolseley without the B suffix, which should have been my first car with a new type of registration, but that was not a great issue. The car was the unusual colour, for a Wolseley, of white, and it looked immaculate. The dealer was Man Edgerton in King's Lynn, and it offered me an acceptable part exchange, 3 months' warranty and a good MOT. I was as happy as a cat from Cheshire, and I was soon offering lifts to anyone who wanted one. My passengers usually commented on the smart appearance of the interior, with its red upholstery and wooden door caps and dashboard. One of the nicest features of the car was the smooth 1500cc engine, which would cruise all day at 60 miles an hour, always returning to 35 miles per gallon, regardless of how it was driven. Not that I ever felt the need to thrash it. I washed it regularly and checked the oil and water every week. This was the first car I'd ever owned which didn't seem to require an oil top-up between services. For a year or more, I was in Clover. I'm not sure if it helped my love life, but at least I didn't feel ashamed to park outside anyone's house. But my pleasure slowly turned to pain. The dreaded rot worms started to appear in the wings, not just in the usual places on the outside, but also the engine compartment. Each time I opened the bonnet, I could see a little more of the road below, and then it appeared in the sills. I was amazed at the progress once the rot had started. Time for some filler, but how do you fill the inside of the wings? The damage there was too severe for me to tackle, but at least you couldn't see it unless you lifted the bonnet. So I was concentrated on the outside, but as soon as one bit of filler was applied and coated with spray paint, another hole would appear. But this was all cosmetic, wasn't it? This car still drove like a dream. However, a visit to the MOT station revealed that the chassis also needed radical treatment, and I was told that the car was now dangerous. I knew that no amount of filler would address that, and so it was time to say goodbye to my lovely little Wolseley, which was barely 7 years old. I had been warned that these two models were prone to this problem, but I was 20 when I bought mine, and I thought I knew better. And I still hadn't found the girl of my dreams. I've never been what you might call a petrol head, and I've owned better vehicles since then. But whenever I visit a car rally, I always look out for one of these. I'm usually disappointed, but when I do see one, I have to take out my camera and talk to the owner. A few years ago, I needed a good photograph to use on the cover of one of my novels, and was so pleased when I found one, although I never did find another white one. My old car was a bit like a love affair. Great when it's new, but oh so painful when it goes wrong.
Thank you, Neil. I'm sure those final words will ring true with many listeners.